I've got some good news for you, okay? There's actually lots of good news. There's so much good news right now that I've had to make a list. I've been actually looking for good news this week, and it's quite cool when you start looking for good news. It's all around you. Nathan and Danielle and Liam are with us today, which is good news. Cool. It's always good to have you guys back in town from Christchurch. Nathan and Danielle serve Word of Life Ministry in Christchurch and look after the South Island sort of end of things for Word of Life, and every now and then are back up here. And as a church, we certainly are supportive of what they're doing and them as a family. And really appreciate your update recently about your goings on last year. If you haven't seen that, that went out recently, a YouTube clip of Nathan and Danielle. And the blessing you guys have had of having a home, you know, that God's provided for you last year, which is really cool. So, yeah. Good to see you guys here. This is good news, bad news. Lucas and Eve are getting married in a few weeks, which is good news. And today's their last Sunday with us for this year officially. Oh, yeah. But the good news is that Eve's continuing her second year of an internship at Matamata Bible Church. And so they're going to be, well, Lucas is relocating over to be with Eve because that's what you do when you get married. You tend to live in the same place. And so, Lucas, it's we've just appreciated like so much of what you've brought to our church family since you became part of our family a few years ago, and so appreciate that. And looking forward to your weekends off, seeing you guys back here. No pressure, but yeah, that's been really cool. Also, I forgot to mention it the other week, but we got a new kid in town, George. I don't know if he's here right now, but George is in town. George Kapoor. Good work, Richard and Sarah. Awesome. So if you haven't met George yet, don't go meet him if he's still asleep, but meet him later when he wakes up or something. I don't know how that works. But that is good news that we have a new kid in the family. It's awesome. The other good news is, anyone know what today is?
Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else? It's our 23rd birthday. That's cool, isn't it? Lorraine told me a few years ago that we don't have to announce it every year, but I figure we've make a fuss of our own birthdays every year, so why not, eh? So 23 years, that's cool. Is there cake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not in that department, so you'd have to ask someone else. Yeah, okay. So anyone's welcome to bring cake next week if you want, okay, because we didn't do that this week. So that's all. That's the good news. There's more good news than that, but that's the good news. But the reason I bring to you good news is, one, is that we should celebrate when good news happens. But the other thing is that we're starting today to look at the good news about Jesus. And we're going to a book in the Bible called Mark. It's named Mark, or some people call it the Gospel of Mark. The word gospel means the good news of Mark. It's the good news that Mark wrote about Jesus. It actually starts in that way. And Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says that this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's really good news. In fact, they say that Mark's account of the good news about Jesus was the first of the Gospels written. Most scholars believe that out of all the Gospels, it was the first one written. And in fact, it's the most quoted Gospel in the Gospels. So if you take Mark and then you look at Matthew and Luke and John, you find them all quoting Mark's text quite often. But the interesting piece about Mark is that the story of Mark himself wasn't all good news. Mark was this guy who decided to follow Jesus, and part of his following Jesus was actually following Paul. So he became like a disciple of Paul. And so just as Paul followed Jesus, so Mark followed Paul. And when they went off on a missionary trip and sharing, you know, the message of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, it sounds as if Mark got a bit homesick. In fact, at one point, he fled and he left behind Paul and Barnabas because it was too tough. He actually just left them, went back home to mum, you know, because the going got too tough for him. And in fact, over that, at another time when he sort of tried to re-come again, Paul says, "Doubt it, I don't want Mark with us. He's likely to, you know, skive off home any time." And Barnabas said, "Well, I do want him with us." And so there was a division between Paul and Barnabas, and they went separate ways. And Mark became a disciple of Barnabas, disciple of Jesus. And yet, Mark came to understand about good news, and I guess for him the good news was that Barnabas believed in him and loved him. And the good news was later on, Paul goes, oh, by the way, can you bring Mark with you? He's really useful. So something changed in Mark's life as he came to live out the good news and became one who Paul valued. But most of all, Mark was a follower of Jesus. They tell us that Mark, most likely in his latter years, after the Paul thing and the Barnabas thing, actually became a disciple of Peter, that he spent a lot of time with Peter before Peter's death. And most likely, Mark's account of the good news of Jesus is kind of like Peter's account of the good news of Jesus. That Mark's actually filling us in so much of what Peter recalled to Mark. And most likely, the first of the gospel. So when it says the beginning of the good news, this idea of this word gospel or euangelio, it's kind of like its first formal use that we have in the Bible as a word that gets banded around in Christian circles, the gospel, the good news. But this is where it began, with Mark telling the story. It was good news. Do you know what? Mark's interesting because that's what began for me. My earliest memory of the gospel, of the good news that I can recall, because I was brought up in a home where the good news of Jesus was talked about a lot and read about at the table after dinner, and then we heard about it at church. But my earliest memory is sitting at the table and Dad would get this book out and read to us the stories of Jesus. Now, it was a book that we really liked because it was a Bible, but not a Bible. Like, there was the Bible, but that was intimidating as a little kid because it was a big, black, fat book with lots of small print, you know, and hard to understand. But there was this other book we had. It was about the size of an A4 and was hardbacked and it was thin. And when you opened it, it had big letters in it, like for people who were having trouble to read, you know. And it was the Gospel of Mark. And that's my earliest memory of hearing about Jesus, is that Dad would read out of this Mark book the story of Jesus to us. In fact, Dad had read that Mark book so often to my older brothers, and then I was one of four, that by the time I came along, I used to think it was quite funny because you would hear Dad reading it and he would get really expressive, and then I would look up and he wasn't even looking at the page, he was looking at us, just reading the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark, the good news of Mark. I guess in some way, maybe I'm here today because somebody read to me and brought to life to me the good news about Jesus in the book of Mark. So that's what we want to do over the next couple of months. We want to go to Mark and we want to discover that the good news is more than a message, that the good news is Jesus. And to know him is life eternal, yes, but it's life now as well. That it's good news. So, if you have your device or your Bible, flick there to Mark, and that's where we're going to be today. Mark, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's interesting when he says that it's the beginning. Some say that the verse that follows on that talks about Isaiah is really saying, hey, it's the good news that began way back when Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah coming. Some say he's saying it's the good news that begins with Jesus, but it's interesting that he doesn't begin with the Christmas story like some of the other Gospels. Really, I think that when he says that this is the beginning of the good news, he's really saying that this is the good news that begins in God. If you look down to chapter 1, verse 14, it talks there about Jesus proclaiming the good news of God. This is news that is good, that's origin is found in our Creator God. And he says, the beginning of the good news. This euangelio, this word for gospel, it was actually a word that was borrowed in a way from the Romans. It was the word used that when there was a battle, and then victory was won in the battle, and the message, the news of victory went back home. It was called the good news, the gospel, the euangelio. It was news that was important, because as that news would come back to the towns, the villages, to the city, come back to Rome, that good news of victory meant that we have overcome, that now there can be peace, that it's an end to the loss of life that's happening in the battle. It's good news. It was also the good news that was proclaimed when the new emperor was either born or the new emperor ascended to the throne. You would say that it's Evangelio, it's good news, it's gospel, that Emperor Augustus is ascended to the throne and he is now Lord. We will have peace under his reign. We will be liberated from our enemies under his reign. The empire will be blessed and people will prosper under his reign. That was the good news. So Mark takes that word, and possibly for the first time in the Christian church, says this word, good news, is about declaring the news that Jesus has won the victory. That in Jesus we are liberated. That in Jesus we are blessed and will prosper. That this good news is in Jesus. And yet, this idea of good news doesn't kind of make sense in some ways for the Roman who would hear the story of Mark. Like, you get to the middle of the story of Mark in chapter 8, and Jesus is asking the disciples who they believe he is, and Peter confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And as he does so, Jesus immediately starts to tell them about why he's come, and he says these words in Mark chapter 8, verse 29, and going through to 31, he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. He must be killed." And that wouldn't have made sense, because that's not good news. Like, a life that will end in death is not good news. And yet Mark chooses that, even though the whole central theme of his book is the announcement of Jesus saying, "I'm going to die a criminal's death in Jerusalem." And then the end of his book is the cruel death of Jesus. And yet, Mark says, this is good news. What is with that? How can it be good news, the announcement of death? On Thursday, I was sitting in the cafe with a new friend of mine. One of the ladies that works here, Karen, in the cafe, she's our marketing and events manager. And you'll get to meet her in a few weeks as we're introducing the ministry leaders. But recently, her husband Andrew's mum died a couple of weeks ago. And so they were in here in the cafe on Thursday, and I've only met Andrew a couple of times before. And so we're sitting talking in the cafe, and I was asking him how things were with his mum passing and the funeral, you know, how that had gone down in Wellington. So he told me the story of his mum. 43 years ago, when Andrew was 8 years old, he found his mum lying on the floor, not breathing. She had overdosed. Her name was Barbara, and she suffered from epilepsy, but she also was drug and alcohol dependent. Andrew said that his dad had recently, a few months before that, had left the family. He ran a local liquor store, which had been contributing to the issue, and it was a very, very home full of conflict. As he grew up, it was a tough place to grow up. Andrew says, as an 8-year-old, he found his mum on the floor, not breathing. And all he could think to do was to run next door. He ran next door to get the neighbour, who happened to be this Christian lady. And he says, "You got to come, my mum's not breathing." And this lady came in, and what she did is she just began to pray for Barbara, just because that's all she knew what to do. She was just praying for Barbara. And Andrew says, "I can remember, I was 8 years old, and mum sat up. And she says, 'I've just been to heaven. It was beautiful. The streets were made of gold. It was the most amazing place. And I didn't want to leave. And Jesus was there. He said it wasn't my time and I had to go back and live.'" And so Barbara was back. And Andrew said that everything changed in their home. Mum immediately gave up her cigarettes, her pills, her alcohol. Started taking the kids to every evangelist she heard about. And he said, and a few months later, because of the change, Dad came home. Andrew says, "Our home became one immersed in the love and sacrifice of Jesus." 2 months ago, Andrew says that Mum got diagnosed with fourth stage lung and bone cancer. Just in her final week, just a couple of weeks ago, she said to Andrew, "I've seen heaven before and I didn't want to leave then and I'm happy to go again." And it sounds like the story of her last few weeks, just incredible. But her whole life was incredible. Just sharing the love of Jesus with others. And then Andrew said that he was checking his mum's phone just that morning, just on Thursday morning. He said, "I had mum's phone, I was checking it through the messages and I found the last message that she typed, but she'd never sent it to a friend Margaret. And he read the message to me. And that reading of the message is why you're hearing the story today. Because he read that to me Thursday morning, and I said to him on Friday, I says, "Man, can we share your mum's story? Because it's powerful." So I just want you to watch this video of Andrew as he shares what's on the phone.
I was going through mum's phone yesterday and I saw this message. "Hi Margaret, I've got good news. I'm going to glory. Remember all my dreams, visions and revelations." That was mum in the end. She got told 14th of December she had stage 4 lung cancer, bone cancer. And she was actually pretty excited about it. She said to me, "Oh, this is great, isn't it? This works out perfect. We've got air in the rest home, this is all taken care of." It was an amazing time to go through the whole process. She wanted to worship, she wanted to pray, she knew where she was going, and it was never any panic, never any kind of fear. It was truly amazing example of a spiritual
life. Kind of like, how upside down is that? Like, to let her friend know, "Margaret, got good news, going to glory." What's she saying? "I've got good news, I've got lung cancer. 6 weeks to go." And she actually, in the pain, was full of joy as she awaited seeing Jesus again. It kind of is this upside down good news that we discover in Mark. We discover in Mark that the good news about Jesus is different maybe than what we would sometimes consider good news. There's this study that goes along with the book of Mark that I found a few years ago and that we've used as a church here, and I know some of you as life groups are going to use it over the next few months, called Christian Explored. And in it, Rico Tice, the author, He wrote these words describing his summary of Mark, that what we'll discover as we go through Mark. He says, "We'll discover there that we are more wicked than we realized, but more loved than we ever dreamed." I love that. Like that's what we'll discover. It's good news that acknowledges and exposes our brokenness and our wickedness, but instead of leaving us guilty and ashamed, it introduces us to the but you are loved. It's a wonderful message of good news. It's a message about Jesus' death, but that he didn't stay dead, but he came alive again and offers us life. But I want to add to you something about this good news that we're going to be journeying through. Sometimes we take the Evangelio, this gospel, this good news, and we simplify it down to a few simple lines of spiritual truth. We make it into a 5-step process to peace with God. I can sum up the gospel by sketching it on a napkin for a friend in a cafe and drawing a few pictures to show them how they can know Jesus. It goes like this. You were created by God for relationship with him, but you are sinful and have disobeyed him, and because that are separated from him. He still loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to live, die, be buried, and rise again. And if you believe in him and accept that his death was in your place, he'll forgive you and give you eternal life. That's the gospel, the good news. And it is. But it's not all the gospel. It's not all the good news that Mark has to tell us or that Jesus has to offer. The good news is about the individual. It's about you. But it's also about the community that you are a part of. It's about all of humanity. It's about all of creation. The good news is about forgiveness in heaven. But it's also about healing and restoration and transformation. Right here and now and for our eternity. The good news is about reconciling us to God and to each other. The good news is about receiving the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life from God, but also about being a blessing to God and to others. That's why to understand that the good news is more than a message, the good news is Jesus, is to then understand that the good news for you and I is more than a message we share with others, but it is who we are to others. That's what Barbara found, isn't it? I have good news, I'm going to glory. She was ready to enter eternity. For her, it was just this easy step just to walk through the doorway and she would be there. But I want to tell you this for Barbara, good news was much more than stepping into eternity. Andrew says to me this last week. He said that Mum's eternal life began 43 years ago. And when he's describing to me her life, her good news was not just knowing Jesus for forgiveness and eternity, but it was freeing from addiction, restoring her marriage, giving a legacy for her children, many years of many relationships impacted with the love of Jesus. See, Barbara became the good news because she came to know the one who is good news. And Mark says this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus. It is about him. He says that he's the Messiah. Means he's the anointed one. He's the one that Israel were looking for, but Israel were looking for somebody to come in a bit like an emperor, I guess, and to free them from the bondage around them, not realizing they came to free them from bondage that was within. I think as they were waiting for one who would come as king and ride on a white horse and lead their armies into battle against Rome, that's why they were so taken back, and Peter especially, when Jesus speaks that he's come to die. In the center of Mark's book, he tells us why Jesus came, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. When he came to be the Christ, the Messiah, he came not to rule over us, but to serve us. And yet he is not just Messiah, but he is Son of God. I guess that's why the kingdom of Jesus is so different. It's why Jesus seems so otherworldly to us, even a bit weird to us with some of the things he might say and do, because he's so different from us, because he's divine. And yet here's the reality, is that what Jesus brings and what he stands for, and when he says, don't rule over, but serve, and we go, how does that work? And when he goes, death is life, and how does that work? His life is the new normal. Like rather than we see it as the weird upside down, in fact, he's right side up. Because if he's Son of God, then he designed this whole thing called life. So what he would bring to us in his good news is actually right side up. A new perspective. And it's interesting, Mark then has this list, and have a look at it when you get home. He goes through Isaiah, John the Baptist, God the Father, even Satan. And what each one of those little stories is, every one of them is saying is, look at this guy, Jesus. He's the one, the Messiah, promised one, the one, divine Son of God. Satan wouldn't have been turning up to tempt him like that otherwise. Isaiah is proclaiming him, John the Baptist is proclaiming him, even God the Father, his baptism is proclaiming him. They're all saying the same thing that Mark is saying. Jesus is Messiah. He is Son of God. And then as Jesus opens his mouth and he begins to speak, some of his first words recorded are words for you and I today as we would come to Mark's book. And we'd go, so Mark, what are you saying to me today about Jesus? And he'd say, actually, listen to Jesus because he's the good news. And here's what Jesus would say to us. Come, follow me. Chapter 1:17, he goes to Simon and to Andrew, just fishermen. They're just tradies. It's good for us tradies, you tradies that are here. They're out doing their craft, working hard. And Jesus says, I got greater work for you to do. come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. And then in chapter 2, he's walking along and there's Levi, the tax collector, the guy that the rest of Israel hate, the one that would be rejected and not allowed access to God. And Jesus says to Levi, or later called Matthew, follow me. And then Levi says, sure, can all my friends follow you too? And he gathers them around for a meal, and all the religious leaders are critical of Jesus and his disciples, saying, what's going on? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And in chapter 2:17, Jesus says this, and this is some of his words for us today. He's saying to you and me, come follow me. Come know me. Come learn from me. Because it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I love that. That's good news, isn't it? Mark knew it. I'm the rejected missionary. And Jesus says to Mark, come follow me. And Levi, it's like, I'm the rejected tax collector with all my buddies who are also like me because no one else will associate with me. And Jesus says, you, come follow me. And Jesus would look at you and me and he'd say, you know what? Because you are broken, even though you're broken, even though maybe your world looks really dark right now, even though there's pain there, dysfunction there, even though others might be rejecting you or saying you're not good enough, I would look at you and go, wow, I'm a doctor. If you are sick, we can do something here. Because I don't come here trying to find healthy people. By the way, there's no one healthy like that. That's what he's really saying. But I came to help those who are sick. Come follow me. I wonder as we start, would you follow Jesus? This one who has come because we're more wicked than we realized, but he's come to show us that we're more loved than we ever dreamed. And he would say to you, come follow me. If you go, yeah, that's me. What do I do? Follow him. And what might that look like? It might look like picking up Mark and just start reading it. Maybe that will be your step of following Jesus this week, to pick up Mark's book and say, I want to know you, Jesus. Jesus, as I'm going to read the story of Mark about you today, show yourself to me. And he will. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are good news. And in a world where there's a lot of bad news, we celebrate good news because it's so precious to us, and yet you are the good news. And not just that you came, lived, died, buried, rose again. That's so important. And not just that you're coming again, as important as that is, but you are here present by your Spirit with us right now, and you want good news to happen right now amongst us. For us to be set free, made whole, reconciled to one another. But firstly to you. And so today we just come, and I don't know, Lord, we just come and want to follow you so that as we see you, we would come to know you. And as we'd experience your love for us, we'd come to love you too and be transformed to be like you so that we too could be good news to others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.